Blog Talk Radio.
This is the news in brief from the United Nations. The Human Rights Council has passed a resolution on the deteriorating situation in Belarus after the UN's Deputy Human Rights Chief called on the government to end violent crackdowns and increasing repression against protesters still contesting the result of last month's presidential election. At the end of a memorable day of back and forth between the council president and delegations, featuring more than a dozen points of order by delegations who questioned the right of some of those addressing the council to speak, the Geneva-based forum finally adopted a resolution on the deteriorating rights situation. It passed by 23 votes for, 2 against, and 22 abstentions. Delivering a statement for UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, her deputy, Nada Al-Nashif, said that despite violence by state security officers and thousands of arrests, peaceful mass demonstrations have continued.
We witnessed thousands of arrests, hundreds of reports of torture and other ill treatment, including sexual violence and the reported torture of children. The violent abduction of people in broad daylight by masked individuals, presumably on the basis of their peacefully expressed opinions. Harassment, intimidation, pressure, and reported expulsion from Belarus of members of the opposition, including the members of the Coordination Council, should stop.
Successive UN special rapporteurs on the situation of human rights in Belarus had consistently described a deeply oppressive environment for human rights in the country, Ms. Al-Nashif noted. Human rights violations are rife in areas of Syria controlled by armed groups affiliated with Turkey, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights has said, citing possible war crimes. In a statement, Michelle Bachelet condemned the alleged abuse and called for an investigation by the government in Ankara. The perpetrators' actions went against human rights law and international humanitarian law, she added, with crimes committed in areas under the control of Turkey's forces and affiliated fighters. Citing grave violations in Afrin, Ras Al Ain, and Tel Abyad, Ms. Bachelet described increasing numbers of killings, kidnappings, and unlawful transfers of people, as well as looting of houses and property seizure. Victims include people perceived to be allied with opposing parties, or those critical of Turkish-affiliated armed groups, or those rich enough to pay ransoms, the High Commissioner said. Her office, OHCHR, had documented the abduction and disappearance of civilians, including women and children, and their fate remains unknown, she added. The protracted conflict in eastern Ukraine that is believed to have killed more than 14,000 people since 2014 has given way to a relative calm, UN humanitarians said on Friday. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, OCHA, said this was the result of a ceasefire in late July. It comes after years of fighting between Ukrainian government forces and mostly pro-Russian separatists. Spokesperson Jens Lacke in Geneva said that this had given a sense of normality to civilians living either side of the contact line.
In eastern Ukraine, the ceasefire that came into force on the 27th of July has now contributed to the longest period of relative calm since the beginning of the conflict in 2014. Our colleagues in Ukraine tell us that this improvement has given people on both sides of the contact line that divides eastern Ukraine a sense of normality, and people hope that it will become sustainable.
Reported security incidents have dropped by more than half since the ceasefire, from 533 in July to 251 in August. But this has not yet led to improved access for those in need of humanitarian aid, OCHA said, as COVID-19 precautions have prevented UN partners from scaling up their work. Today, only 2 of 5 official crossing points allow people to cross the front line, which is 500 kilometers long. Crossings have been limited mainly to those who've been granted permission negotiated by the humanitarian community. Daniel Johnson, UN News.
Well, we have it. We haven't got, we've got one of the Line Ball sisters. We've got Kay and Kay on, Kay Line Ball. We don't have Sandra on yet. I'm going to play some music and see if we can give her, give Sandra, we'll give Sandra another minute or two, and we'll see if she calls in. But welcome to the Kansas Coffee Bar, where we talk about all things. We'll be right back with you. I don't know if I don't believe in ESP anymore. I used to when I was on a lot of drugs in the 70s. But I just said on air that Sandra hadn't called in and Kay was waiting. Kay and I were waiting and
Sandra's there
and
now.
She just called in. She just called in. I mean, it's a wonderful.
Well, I called and reminded her.
Huh?
I called
and reminded. She was probably taking a nap.
No, I wasn't. I watching Eddie tie up. He cut some tree branches off my trees. And he was tying them up, and I was watching him.
Oh, you're just going to make sure he did it right, huh?
Yeah, I was just seeing how many piles we were going to have, because you have to have a certain width and length
before
they'll take them, so.
Yeah, we do too. And they have to be tied together and 3 feet long.
Yeah.
I was just telling Mike, Sandra, that in the Iowa Register, they have an art. They have a section every now and then on I Look Back in Time.
Uh-huh.
And there's an article on Jerry.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
About what?
About his, it was the Woodell Enterprises located in the old Lehigh plant site. Said the company diversified before the rendering plant business went into a slump. And he's making oil tanks, oil storage tanks and pumping units.
Yeah, we made those tanks. Yeah, we did.
Okay. And then also the Iowa Register printed a chronicle of the Allen County in a book. But they sent that out in the newspaper, and it was 32 pages long.
Oh, my gosh.
But there was, it goes way back to in the 20s or before, in the teens. But there was an article in there about the Brownfield Cipher Candy Company.
Oh.
And that was back in 1920s. And they said that when Mr. Brownfield passed away in 1925, the heirs sold the company to Cipher, and it became the Cipher Candy Company. And I remember that.
I do too. I'll be darned.
Yeah. But Brownfield was in on it before. So
and that's where we got, that's who made Vitamix milk.
Yeah. And also the Iola Coca-Cola Company made Pabst Blue non-alcoholic beer.
Oh, really?
This is kind of funny, but yet sometimes it's kind of sad, some of the things I'm reading. I just read a section of it at a time.
Oh,
but
Lord.
Anyway, 32 pages long, that's a lot of reading.
Right. Oh, definitely.
I'm just too World War II now.
How did you get it? Because you subscribed to the paper?
Oh, yeah, I subscribed, yeah.
That's how you got it sent to you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the book costs, but they advertised that book for a long, long time. I never did think about getting the book, but this is kind of interesting, this chronicles of, but 32 pages is a lot of reading.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
Yeah, so I'm just doing it in sections, but there's some interesting things that have happened that, we didn't realize, which, we wouldn't have.
Or you forgot.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they were talking about the WPA. That's what built the Iola Swimming Pool and the Iola Community Building was the WPA.
Yeah.
And I do remember that because that was, we all heard about that living there. We knew that.
Right.
But I thought that was kind of interesting.
I remember them telling us the WPA built that community center down there in the park. So
Yeah. Now they have a different one because that one flooded so often.
Right.
It was a great memory for me in our family reunions at the Iowa swimming pool. I want to put this in a context for our listeners who aren't. What was Brownfield owned a large business or a business in Iola, Kansas? The Brownfield family.
Yes, candy. It was a candy company. They made candy.
Now, what year? Approximately, what year was that when they were doing
it? It was in the 1920s.
And then they moved to Leroy, or they were already in Leroy.
Well, Mr. Cipher, I don't know where the family lived at that time, but it said when Mr. Brownfield passed away in 1925, the heirs sold them.
That would have been Don Brownfield's dad, probably.
Or granddad.
Or grandfather. Probably grandfather, grandfather.
But I was telling Bob that the other day. He got on Ancestry or whatever. He said, well, the Brownfields came from Missouri.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
I don't think there's any left now, are there? Any Brownfields left?
Yeah.
I don't think
there's any in Leroy. But isn't Daryl still alive?
No, no.
Oh, okay. What about Joyce?
No.
Yeah, I think she still is.
Maybe.
And what about
Judy was Bob's age. Judy was Bob's age.
Okay, what about the one who, she's probably gone to, the one that had the beauty shop, which was...
Oh, that's Lorraine.
Maureen.
That was Maureen, yeah. That was Lorraine, wasn't it? She was Don Jr.'s wife.
Right. And they had Daryl and, what was their daughter's name? Oh, God, I can't.
Daryl was Don's boy.
Donna and Dean Brownfield. Now, I know I think Dean Brownfield Facebook. Oh, my God, what a curse. Facebook indicates that Dean Brownfield is happily married, of course, in Wichita, Kansas.
Oh, okay.
And
I don't remember him.
That was the last time.
Was he a lot younger?
He was a very interesting guy. He was two classes ahead of me at Leroy High School, and he was Don Brownfield's son, and he was quite ambitious when it came to cars. Now, he was considered by me a sort of a rich kid because he had a 57 Chevy, and he painted it bright orange. It was an orange, absolutely crazy.
Uh-huh.
And it had fire, things of light fire on the side of it. It was like crazy.
Now, Dean was Don Jr.'s son?
Yeah.
Or was he
Don
Senior's
son? No, this was the guy that owned the pool hall's son.
Okay, that's Don Junior.
Right.
Okay, you get that straight. I don't know.
Yeah,
but,
Don.
The
first Don was had the grocery store.
Right.
Yeah, I missed all that. Yeah, I missed.
Oh,
that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Don and Daryl and Daryl had the grocery store. And then Don Jr. had
Daryl.
The pool hall.
Yeah,
right.
Daryl, I remember quite well.
Yeah.
But, Dean Brownfield was quite a number. I mean, he was a...
And I don't remember him
fun.
At all. Must have been gone.
Well, he was young. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
He was your age,
around your age.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah,
I would have been gone by then.
And he was the older kids ahead of me in school. So we always
looked up to him.
I would say we were very envious of his 57 orange Chevrolet.
Yeah.
I would say everybody wanted to have that car. I thought, wow, that's cool, you know. Donna Brownfield was his older sister. She was a year or two older than Dean.
Okay,
and,
let me ask. Who was Ramona Brownfield's parents?
Don and Bertha.
Good question.
Okay.
I have no one.
Yeah, the grocery store people.
Because
Ramona was the one that married Bob Brewer, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So see, she was quite a bit older than us.
Right, and that's
uh-huh.
true.
Uh-huh.
Well,
she was. They lived there, didn't they, Kay?
Yeah, they built a new house up there on North Main Street, a brick house that's on the east side of the road. It's way up north. It's north of the high school.
Right.
There's a brick home up there, and Don and Ramona built that. Or Bob and Ramona.
Right.
Yeah, they built that.
Well, that answers your question. So it's a brewer. So the Brownfields are still there. It's just through the Brewers.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think Bob and Ramona had any children.
I don't think they did either.
Oh.
I think she had two daughters by her first marriage, and I don't remember what that married name was.
I don't either. But now Mary Brewer, I don't know who she married, but she moved away when she married.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was his sister, yeah.
Uh-huh.
She was closer to our age.
She was close to what?
She was closer to our age, about, 4 years?
Well, she was Barbara Kessner's age.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, they were somewhat older than us, but I don't remember just how old. Because, you know, we were kids. They were in a different world to us.
I remember when they used to bring over boxes of clothes for us.
Oh, I remember. That was so much fun.
I know.
And the formals. We got formals
right.
In fact, I think I wore one of those formals in that big production that that music teacher put on that Christmas
Long.
Production. Yeah, Long.
Mr. Long?
Yeah. Put on that big Christmas program for the whole school from first grade through seniors. And I wore one of those formals in one of our dances we had to do. Hey, there's a poll question on the radio that I listen to in the mornings. And the poll question today was, would you rather live in the past or live in the future?
Ah!
So, which one
do we
would you rather
what,
live
what
in?
What is the future?
Well, we don't know.
Yeah, right.
Do you want to live in the unknown?
No. this is the unknown now.
I know. I always said I'd rather live in the past anyway. It was so much more fun, I thought.
Oh, yeah, more relaxed and more easy life, so.
I know. Yeah, I was thinking today, I need to tell my great-grandkids about what we used to do for fun, you know, like I used to ride horses with the Holmes kids.
Right.
You know, and ride our bicycles and went horseback riding. And, you know, that's what we did for fun. And kids today sit in front of a screen.
Yeah, you got that right. You had that right. You're absolutely correct about the screen problem. It is. I mean, my dear son Tristan, and I love him, he's my dear son, he was. You know, I made breakfast this morning, and we've got my sweetheart. His mother did not let me know that she'd already went out and, you know, bought a bunch of firewood. And these guys showed up with this, like, huge truck of firewood.
Oh, good.
For winter, and well, yes, but they dumped it right out by the woodshed. But, you know, so we got to move all that. We've got to move all this firewood into the woodshed, and it's been sitting there for 2 days in this beautiful weather in Kansas.
It
and
is
I
here,
told
here.
Him, I said, Tristan, you need to do 3 wheelbarrows a day.
Oh.
And 3 wheelbarrows a day. Wheelbarrow them into the woodshed and stack them up nice and neat so they'll be dry when the rain and the snow comes. And he was like, okay, I'll do that. He was not real happy about it. And, well, I mean, I can't pay him any. He makes money, you know, on his computer now. He's making a living as a paraeducator, helping these kids on computer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
And, I know.
I think it's wonderful, but it has its downside. I mean, in a way, you know, people.
Well, it shouldn't be your whole life. It should be limited.
Right. Yes. Right. I agree. Yeah. You need to get.
But
you know,
he needs to think of that. He's not going to have to be out there in the cold.
Yeah.
Chopping down wood to put in your fire in your stove.
Right. Right. I've had to do that.
We used to do that.
Because you don't have Matt this year to do that.
Well, Matt was only good for a year. So don't
well,
I've been here 20.
Well, I know, but he's come out there more than that. But last year he was out there chopping wood for you.
Well, I mean, look, I'm not going to get in an argument with you about Matt. The simple fact is that you do tend to run out of firewood before winter is over. That's the way it is. You know?
Oh, yeah. Right.
Well, depending on the winter.
I don't think either of you lineball sisters have ever had to deal with firewood.
Oh,
we had
two fireplaces. We had two fireplaces in our house at gas. So we went out we went out in the fall and cut wood. In fact, I've still got my coat that Dale got me. I call it my chore coat. And that's what I would wear out to chop down wood.
But when we were kids, Kay, we had a few oil stove in the house.
Oh, yeah. My land, yes. We had them everywhere,
right.
When you think about it. We had one in the living room, one in the dining room, one in the hall.
Right.
Of course, we were heating a big house.
Because everything, all the heat went up.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So we didn't have to have, I don't know about the apartment, if there was a heating stove in there or not. Do you remember?
Yeah, there was. There was a little one there that sat by between the bathroom door and that closet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I do remember that now. Yeah. Because we always had to have those exhaust pipes going up.
Yeah, yeah.
But we just had Resners in the floor in our bedrooms upstairs.
Right. Well, they were vents.
Vents, yeah, we just opened those up and the heat came into our bedrooms.
Right.
It's amazing how we got by with so much less than what we do today.
Such simple things.
Yeah, yeah, life was simple. We've got to admit that life was simple.
Right. That's true.
Of course, I guess today if we're up on everything today, it's simple.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was also tougher, and you had less time to look at computer screens. I mean, you really had to concentrate on what you had to do, whether it was snapping green beans. You were complaining 2 weeks ago about how what you thought when you went out the back door of your house and there was a wash tub of green beans to snap. I mean, that was tough. I mean, even if you were a little girl of 7, 6, 7, 8 years old, you go, oh my God, look at all those green beans we have to snap. and then I'm using this in a way to help you and remind listeners.
Help me.
You know, you need to make it a little bit less like it was a wonderful time.
But that didn't seem like that wasn't all that much. You know, we were always busy. We were busy as young kids.
Right. I think that's an important point. Yeah. And when you push mowed your yard when you were a girl, okay, girls push mowing the yard, radio on the porch, listening to the radio, push mowing the yard, and it was a mower. It wasn't always a gas mower. There was actually
a real
mower that did not have to, what?
They are real mowers.
R-E-E-L.
I have a real. Oh, yeah, R-E-E-L. Real.
Yeah, I've never heard them called that, but they were not gasoline powered. Right?
No, I have one yet in my, I still have one.
Right. Oh, I think you should have, everybody should have one.
Okay.
But, I mean,
well,
that,
I use
that
it
was...
in small. When I mowed, I used it in small areas.
It was easier. You don't have to pull and try to get them started.
Yeah. Of course, I don't have to do that with my walk behind because I just push a button. It's electric.
Right, I understand. But that was hard work. That was hard using the
But you know, we
mower.
Didn't think about that being hard work. We even went and mowed. Right. We mowed other people's yards. We mowed Blanche Folkley's yard.
And Pearl and Alvy.
Alvy's, yeah. We mowed other people's yards. Charged them 50 cents.
Yeah.
Is that all?
And you know what we trimmed around trees with? We trimmed with scissors. We trimmed with scissors.
Pair of scissors.
Yep. So, see, guys, we use simple things, but we made it work.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think that, and it's that moment, I think, that people miss
in
the 21st century. The moment of bending over and cutting a blade of grass around a tree trunk with a pair of scissors. Takes a little time to do that, you know.
Oh, sure.
I run into that when I'm out riding my $1,000 ride mower, running around. I'll just turn off the damn mower and just sit there and just look around at the trees and the grass and everything. And I think that's an important thing that young people. Now we're talking 60 and 50. Are you all right, Sandra? Don't die on air. Okay.
Yeah, I've got a cough. I'm trying to get rid of.
Oh dear.
Yeah, you do, sister. I do that. I'll stop the mower and just stop and walk around a little bit. And I think, my God, I think people need to do this more often. Just looking, you know, whatever is in your yard or in your trees or whatever's going on. People don't do that, I don't think. Maybe they walk in the park. Maybe they go. I see YouTube. Here's something funny. I watch YouTube, and there's people filming themselves walking in the park. And I'm thinking, that's really, I guess.
They have to have proof of it, huh?
Yeah.
I was going to also tell you guys, Sandra, you remember that Live Forever that Dad had? I don't know what the real name is for this flower.
Right. Yeah,
I've got
that some
flower.
And I got some from his house. Yeah.
I've got it here in front of my house, and I went out the other morning to walk the dog, and I mean the butterflies and the bees were just thick on that.
Really?
Yeah, because it's blooming.
Are yours blooming?
Yes, they're blooming.
Yeah, purple.
And
yeah.
They're lavender. And
right.
I mean, the bees and the butterflies were just thick. But they only lasted a short time.
Let's back up a little bit.
There's wasp bomb now.
What is a live forever flower?
Plant.
It's very hardy, I've got to tell you that, because if you break one off, you just stick it in the ground and it grows.
Yeah, that's all we did up at Dad's when we were selling his house, and we got some of that. You and I just broke some off. I've got it here on the east side of my house. It's thick.
I know. I've got it all along the front of my house, and then I've got it around the fence in the back and around a tree in the back because I just kept – every time I break one off, I'd go stick it in the ground.
Yeah, that's all you have to do.
I did take one time to I broke one off and took it to Tusi's house where I volunteered and asked some of the ladies there if they knew what the real name was.
Uh-huh.
And she told me, but I don't remember.
Oh.
But we just call it Live Forever.
Live Forever, that's our name for it, so what the heck.
Well, now,
is it an evergreen leaf plant?
No, it's kind of a rubbery. It's kind of a rubbery green plant, or leaf.
Yeah. Tubey. It's like a tube, the stem tubey.
Yeah, it's a tube, uh-huh.
But
it is real hardy, very hardy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grows easy and real pretty.
Oh,
it always has this, the top of it is sort of bushy type flowers, and then they turn purple this time of year.
Yeah, mine are lavender now. And I cut mine off. I go out and cut mine all down in the fall or just before winter.
Yeah.
You know, I cut them down to nothing.
Well, they come up thicker, too, then.
Oh, I know. But you know, they're not very pretty to just, you know, just there, with the old dead stems. You know, the flowers on them have already done their thing.
Right.
So there's no sense in leaving them there, so I go out and cut them all back.
Yeah.
But your live forever plants, they keep on going. They're perennial.
Oh yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. I just cut them back to the kind of to the roots, or the base. You know, what's in the ground, and they come right back up in the spring.
Yeah. That's like my hostas. I trim them off, and they come right back up thicker than ever. So.
Hello. Hello. Yeah, I've been doing my voting today.
You've been
getting my ballot ready to vote. I got my vote. I got my ballot all filled out. It's ready to go mail. But evidently every state must be different, because they say, I read this in the Iola paper, where the courthouse has put a drop box outside the courthouse for people to drop their absentee ballots in.
Yeah, I thought we can do that here.
That'd be simple. So I called the election board, and I asked if they were going to have a drop box. She said, "Oh no, we can't have those in Oklahoma."
Oh, you got to mail them.
Yeah, we got to mail them. So, or you can drop them by the election office. You can drop them off.
You can take them on election day and give them to them.
Yeah, or you can go ahead to the election office and give them to
them.
Well,
yeah. That sort of defeats the absentee ballot, doesn't it? If you have, why not just mail it and let them take it in? I mean,
well, that's what I'm doing. I'm mailing mine in. But
right.
we mail the mail here in Oklahoma or in Bartlesville to go to Bartlesville, but it goes to Oklahoma City,
right?
And then
it
has to come back.
Or it goes to Kansas City and then comes back.
I know. You know, that just seems so. That seems like such a waste of time.
I know. You'd think they'd sort them by zip code numbers, and the zip codes for here would stay here.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. So, I guess they do that in Oklahoma. They do it for Oklahoma and Oklahoma City. They do it by zip code there.
Yeah.
And then send them back.
Right.
I guess
no
that
sense.
Keeps the postal department going.
And it makes them have higher prices for things, too, so.
Yeah, right. Yeah, what doesn't?
We can
In fact,
cut
that's another thing I was
bit.
Thinking about. When my first job was at, well, that's because I was reading these articles in the Iowa paper about Miller's Dress Factory. And see,
right.
I worked there, and
right.
I worked for $1 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went in to tell, I'd gotten a job with the city.
Right.
And I went in to tell them I was giving them a 2 weeks' notice, and they gave me a 50-cent an hour raise.
To stay, huh?
They were probably trying to keep you.
Oh, they were.
Where was? How many workers were at Miller's Dress Factory, and where was it located? Was it in Iowa? Where?
Oh yes,
yeah.
It's where. Let me think. It's on West Street and the highway. I don't know if you remember where the depot used to be.
Yeah, I do.
Well, it was just a block back east and on the south side of the street from the post office.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So, you know, it was on the highway. Highway. I think
How many
that was
people
highway.
Worked there?
What'd you say?
How many people work there? Sandra, you've got something going on as usual in your kitchen.
No, I don't.
Huh,
I don't.
I'm hearing an echo.
Okay. Your head.
Okay. Yeah, right. But
no,
Kay,
I hear it too.
Work there?
I hear it too.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, it's not in my head, Sandra. So, Kay, how many people work there? Was that in Iola? Was that in Iola?
Yes.
Was that in
uh-huh.
Iola, Kansas?
Yes.
So you were already married and moved there, or were you commuting?
What
and
was those?
And driving.
What'd you say, Mike?
Were you already married and moved to Iola? Or were
oh,
you
yes.
Yeah.
I didn't go to work
time?
Until Greg started kindergarten. So the day Greg started kindergarten, I went to work at Miller's.
You're ready to go. Actually,
yeah.
So
Kay was ready.
Kay, what was
Mark,
the name of
Kay
those
was
dresses? Nancy, was the name of those Nancy Frocks? Is that what
yes,
they were called?
Yes, Nancy Frock. That was
yeah.
Mrs. Miller's name. Mrs. Miller's
oh.
name was
oh,
Nancy.
Oh, I've seen those. Hey,
yeah.
Pretty famous.
Well, you know, we had seconds, or we had, you know, dresses that might have had a flaw in them or something, and we could buy them for a quarter.
Right, right.
So I'd buy Dale's mother dresses for a quarter. Because, you know, the women wore house dresses back in those days.
Right.
Sure. Hell yeah.
No, I would guess there was probably, oh, there was probably over 100 people that worked there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
the people on the floor, and then there was, you know, there were inspectors, and there were
right.
pattern makers. Aunt Elizabeth, our aunt, Aunt Elizabeth Fox,
right.
she was one of the, uh-huh. she chose accessories for the dresses, like the buttons and, you know, things like that. And so that's really how I got the job. Like I say, I never applied
that's
for a job.
Cool.
I never applied for a job. I just got them. I never had to apply. But anyway, that you know, the working at the dress factory was interesting because, you know, it was a procedure.
They just closed it down, didn't they, or did they sell it?
No, they closed it.
I thought they did.
Because they started sending everything to Mexico.
Right.
You know, and it just didn't last that. Well, they built a new building up north of town.
Right. I knew they did that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they did that before it closed. But, you know, the younger people got involved, and I guess they thought they needed more modern facilities and everything, and that, you know, that just doesn't always work.
Right. They needed new designs. They never liked the dresses.
Yeah. Well, they did finally go to some formal wear and, you know, different kinds of clothing. And they even did some jewelry.
Oh, okay. I never realized they did jewelry. Mm.
Yeah, that's been a long... Well, that was towards the end of it.
Huh.
When it was, you know, closing up. But they did build a big building up north of town. In fact, I think that Burris took it over. He's in the oil business.
Oh,
and I think
huh.
he makes something that's connected to the oil companies now in that building.
Oh, I'll be darned. Well, there a lot of people worked there, I know.
Oh, yes, there was. Well, Aunt Elizabeth worked there for years.
Oh, I know.
I'll have to ask Shirley sometime how long her mother did work there.
Did she retire from there or what? Do you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think
so. I thought
so.
She did, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, but I was reading on this stuff that Aunt Nancy's having done.
Yeah.
This infusion.
Oh,
this
it's
an infusion, and they IV a vitamin C and things like that right directly into your veins.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she must be feeling better because she's had things on Facebook.
Right, I saw that where she was
canning something or
canning
preparing
chilies or something,
preserving something, preserving
right.
something. Yeah, so she's doing things.
But when they do that to her, she's really wore out and tired, she said.
Is that right?
Messy, yeah.
Huh.
Takes her a while to recoup from it. But
I know Bob says it takes about 3 hours.
Right. It's like chemo, only it's the vitamin C they put right into your veins.
I'll be darned. So it's something new.
I guess. If you get on your computer, just write infusion for cancer treatment, and you'll get all these articles.
I'll be darned. Huh. Well, I guess that's good that they're coming up with new things.
Right, right. Instead of putting chemicals in you, they're putting vitamins into you.
Yeah, yeah. That is a good resolution if it'll work.
Yeah, if it works, that's I hope it does, but
oh, me too. Yeah. I was thinking the other day, of course, you know, with this way we're living today, I sit around and think about things all the time. But, you know, Stephanie went down over Labor Day to help take care of her mother, so, quote, quote.
Right.
And I got to think, I wonder if she's ever thought about who's going to take care of her.
Right. No kids.
No kids. No nieces or nephews unless JP has nieces and nephews.
Well, that's true, yeah. I don't know. I think his brother does have kids.
Does he? Okay.
I wondered
about that. Because, you know, Jason's never married, so there's
no
children there that we know of.
Yeah, yeah.
This is dangerously boring to listeners who do not know.
Oh, okay.
Well, then let me ask you this, Mike. If anybody out there knows Dustin Cadell's address or something, tell him that his grandmother has all these pictures of him and his sister and grandparents on his mother's side, the family, that I want to get to him.
Oh.
Okay.
We found them in a dresser. Marcella found them, and I was going to just mail them to him, but I don't know where to mail them. I know he lives in Oskaloosa somewhere.
Oh, well, he's not too far away, is he?
No, uh-uh.
No, but he doesn't live there anymore. I know that.
He doesn't live there
anymore?
And
I'm not going to give out his... I'm not going to give out his personal address on air. You.
Oh, okay.
What, you guys are crazy. You're crazy.
Well, I'll give you the pictures, and you can mail them to him.
This is not a private. This is not a private telephone conversation. I must remind you.
I said I'll give you the pictures, and you can mail them to him.
I heard. That's fine. That's wonderful.
Okay.
But, really? So, what about the Chiefs? What happened?
Oh, great!
You guys
Boy, they keep me on.
Chiefs?
They keep me on the edge of my seat, though.
Oh, butt kicker! I never thought he was going to make it.
Who?
Butt kicker. That's what we call him.
Oh, okay.
The kicker.
Yeah.
We call him butt kicker.
I see. Well, that's what he did last night.
I
know. Three times.
What is his name?
Butker.
B-U-T-K-E-R. Oh, okay. All right. Now I see how you got that. Okay. I'm trying to figure out. Oh, my God.
No, right. It was so funny. Here. Right after the ball game was over, my phone rang. And this other kid that's from Iola, he's not a kid, he's retired, lives here in Bartlesville. He has to call me. We have to talk about the game. But like he said, and I said, my land, what a nerve wracker that one was.
I know.
Oh, dear. But I kept thinking, now, old Pat's going to get started here. You know, the first half I kind of gave up, but the defense was terrible.
Defense. They were. I said, where did the defense team go?
Yeah, right. They were awful the first half, and I kept thinking, Patrick's going to get going in the second half now. And so I tried to keep myself calm.
He looked very disgusted that several times.
He did. Well, when he was standing on the sideline especially.
Right.
You know, the defense was out. He looked very disgusted. And he should have.
Oh, yeah, right. I never blamed him. He had every right to, because they were not doing what they were supposed to be doing out there. So
they weren't defending at all.
Nope.
But he knew to pull it out, so that was all that mattered. And that's something else I always think of Jerry about. Jerry used to say, if you don't win the first one, you can't go undefeated.
That was so nice. I like that.
When the Chiefs won
like
their first
that.
One, I thought, okay, here we go. But that was a kind of a worry, too, that first game. But,
yeah.
You know, of course, my theory is give it to Kelsey. He'll make a touchdown. Give it to Kelsey.
Right.
He's
well,
my
what
man.
Happened to Sammy Watkins? You know, they hit him real bad, and they never did say if he never did come back.
No. So
somebody was saying that they hit him right square in the head.
Oh dear!
This was on TV this morning.
Oh.
And they said he acted like he couldn't see.
Oh, good man!
They hit him on the bare forehead with the other guy hit him with his helmet.
Oh dear! I didn't know they had bare foreheads. I thought they had those. Guard over
I think
their face.
He had taken his helmet off.
Oh.
Sammy Watkins had.
Yeah, why would he take his helmet off?
I think it flew off.
You're all right. I happen to be an expert on getting concussions in football, and having had, I got two of them at least, maybe more. But actually, yeah, that even a helmet against helmet can cause that kind of injury. Really, yeah. I mean, it's pretty common. It's tough. It's
tough. They've tried to do away with the head-to-head contact.
I know.
In fact, didn't they kick somebody out of the game for that?
Yeah, I think the guy that hit Sammy Watkins.
Okay, I knew they kicked somebody out because of a head-to-head contact.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not only not safe, it's not good. It's not good for you either. I've done it myself.
Well, let's see. That was the second game I was watching. I watched two games. I watched the
I don't think
Chiefs,
Watkins
and then I watched the
back.
I watched the Sunday night game too. And that's where they kicked the guy
score?
Out for the helmet to helmet. I don't. It was the Seahawks and New York.
Uh-huh.
The whoever Brady used to play for.
Oh, okay.
New England.
Yeah, New England.
New England.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course, now they have Cam, somebody else that I used
Newton.
To watch it.
In
Cam Newton.
Newton.
Yeah, Cam Newton. Yeah, he used to play for Tennessee, I think.
Right. Yeah.
But now he's with New England. And where did Brady go?
Miami. He went to Tampa Bay, wasn't it?
I don't remember. That's what I'm
asking. Yeah, I think so. I know.
Okay, he went south, huh? Went where it was warm.
Yeah. But they were showing their game, and the electricity went out, so they couldn't show the rest of their game.
Oh, for heaven's sake! Are they still having storms?
I guess. Yeah, they are down there. Yeah.
Oh. Goodness gracious. You know, there's so many things going on in our world today.
I know.
Fires and storms and pandemic and
tropical storms.
Yeah, it's bad. It must be this climate change we're going through.
Oh, okay.
It could be that. I think it is. I think it is, but it's also we have access to enormous amounts of information now. We can find out anything.
True. Yeah, see, that's why our lives were simple when we were growing up. We didn't have information for anything. We didn't know what was going on.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Well, not a lot, I'll put it that way. Of course, we kind of knew about the wars. You know, they kept us pretty well posted. Not really, if you think about it. They really didn't keep us all that posted on the war.
Well,
we knew there was a war.
Right.
But you were only 8 and 9 years old during that time. 14 or 16.
And that was another thing. Yeah, that was another thing I got to thinking about. Did Uncle Jack or Uncle George, they weren't in the service, were they, Sandra?
No, uh-uh.
Okay, and I knew Dad went for his physical, but he didn't serve because he had a bad gallbladder.
No, he had sugar diabetes.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. But somebody said that's because he had four kids.
I remember I learned to blow my nose while he was gone.
Yeah.
I was in the third grade. That's funny what you remember now isn't it?
That's
and something
amazing.
Else Bob and I were talking about the other day was our parents never talked about getting married. You know, and I thought, well, you know, they never ever told us anything about getting married. Did they have a wedding?
I don't know where they got married at, do you?
I don't either. No pictures. No pictures of a wedding, you know.
Nope.
So, but it's the reason I get to thinking about that is because Shirley sent me a picture of our grandmother in her wedding dress.
Oh.
You remember that picture?
Yeah.
She had the big hat on flowing dress.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to thinking, I wonder if Mother got married in a wedding dress. You know?
We were never told.
No. Uh-uh. Nope. So I've often wondered about that. Bob said they probably went to the Justice of the Peace and got married.
Yeah.
But now it's such a big thing. My goodness.
We don't really know where our dad came from.
No. Well, we know he lived in Independence. He lived in Independence until the eighth grade.
I
know.
Of course, weren't they in Abilene at some time? No, Moline.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were in Moline at some time. I don't know if that was during his time with his at home, but I know Grandpa and Grandma lived in Moline.
But we never did. I never did know how they got up to the Leroy, Aliceville, that area.
West, I don't know either.
Well,
have no clue.
I agree. I've been trying to pinpoint that myself. Where did they meet? How did they meet? And and how did they end up in Leroy of all places? I mean, I don't understand.
You know,
that.
They didn't talk about it. You
know,
we didn't think to ask.
Right.
Well, you were just little girls.
We were just kids.
But when you grew up and married and moved away, did you ever think about coming back and asking the magical question? Hey,
no.
Eula and Homer,
no.
How the hell did you meet?
They met in school.
We knew they met in school.
Yeah, they were both in Leroy High School.
But how?
Huh?
Sandra and I both got stuck on that. How did Homer end up in Leroy High School and Beulah? Now, Beulah came from what? I thought it was Independence.
No. She came from Northcott area. She grew up east of Leroy on a farm.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Actually, she was in Anderson County, and she crossed the road. You were in Coffee County.
Okay, now that was the big issue, because
And then she taught school for, you know, back in those days, they had in school, when you were in high school, they had manual training. And Mother graduated at 17 from high school, and she taught school for a year.
Right.
Yeah, I've heard that. If you got a high school diploma, you could teach school. That's what.
Yeah. She taught school for 1 year, and then she got married.
Didn't
and
he?
See, then,
married
then you couldn't be moment. You couldn't be married and teach.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? That's
no,
that's right. And you know, I get to thinking about that, and we had old maid school teachers. We called them old maids, like Miss Garvey. And
yeah.
I thought, well, they probably started teaching when you couldn't be married.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Garvey. Yeah. Elizabeth Garvey was a real treasure. I had her.
Yes, she was. She really was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really
when
was.
Mom was in high school in Leroy, didn't she live with somebody in Leroy?
Yes, she had an apartment in Leroy.
Right.
And I don't remember. I think she lived with Maud Irwin.
Oh, really?
I think they shared an apartment. And it's amazing, when I go to the Leroy Cemetery, Maud is buried not too far from Mother. I don't know if that was planned or not, but, you know, I don't know. Of course, I'm sure Maud died after Mother did, because Mother died so young.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I thought that because she lived in another county or area, and I thought, well, she lived in Leroy, but she had an apartment or something there in Leroy.
Yeah, well, because then they didn't commute. They had no way to commute to school from the country.
No
school buses, you know, and they didn't have anything like that. In fact, she told how she used to ride her horse to where she taught in the country school, just, you know, not too far from her home.
Right.
She rode her horse to school.
Right, yeah.
This is Elizabeth Garvey?
No, this
no,
is
this
our
is...
mother.
Oh, your mother. Okay, your mother.
Yeah.
Okay, for
yeah.
her years. Okay, because Elizabeth Garvey must have taught like, Elizabeth Garvey must have taught like 40 or 50 years.
Oh, probably.
Mom taught 1 year. Yeah.
Didn't she live in that house across from Manley's funeral home?
Yes. Uh-huh. She and her sister, Kate.
What was her sister? Kate?
Yeah, Kate.
Yeah.
But she'd been married, I think, because wasn't her name Baird?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, Kate Baird. Yeah, they lived across from what is now the funeral home.
Right.
And I often wonder if those homes, if those houses are still there, because, you know, they went through and tore down so many houses in Leroy.
Oh, I know.
We really,
yeah.
I guess some of us outsiders are going to have to go take a trip down there with a camera and just take pictures of and identify where the photographs are located, because our memories are totally different than what. In that short time I went down there, my God, I think for Homer's funeral, I think I went down there after that too. But you know, each time it was eye opening. See, this little town changed so much.
Oh.
It really was.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, there's not as big a tree. The trees are hell. I think there's something. I think that people that live in small towns might be going crazy about killing trees. In Oskaloosa, Front Page News is that they're going to cut down three trees around the courthouse down in our Jefferson County. And I'm like,
are they dying or just being cut down?
They're just being cut down, and here's why: because the tree roots are growing under the sidewalk and making the sidewalk buckle.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that happened at our house. When our house there in Leroy, the elm tree was, it raised the sidewalk up out by our house.
Right.
Yeah. I stumbled over it. I stumbled over that. Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was not a big deal. But I mean, it's sort of funny that here in the courthouse square in the middle of Oskaloosa, the city council has decided to cut down the trees, and there's actually people saying, "Well, we could, you know, you can cut the roots."
That's right. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, you can cut the root and dig it up, dig the root up, and take it out and lower the sidewalk. It can be fixed. It requires the Lime Ball Sisters. It requires.
We had a maple tree out in front of our house, and when they put in this new road and new sidewalk, they said we couldn't keep it because it would raise up the sidewalk.
The roots
would come up. So they let us keep our oak trees.
The roots go down.
Yeah, they go down straight down. So, but they took
our maple. I've got two maple trees, and they're both the roots are coming up in both of them. So
right.
I let my mowing man worry about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't even worry about them. My God.
I don't.
It takes years, decades, 10 years, 20 years, 20 years before those roots push. I mean, it's a ridiculous thing to chop down. The funny thing is, they have less than 9 trees on that courthouse square. So they're to cut three of them down.
Good land.
I've counted them, and they're beautiful. They remind me a lot of Leroy's trees in the park, around the gazebo. I mean, on the Neosho River, there were trees that I could reach around as a child and couldn't even get near to the end. It would take two of us children to reach around the base of a cottonwood on the Neosho. I just thought, I mean, I'm thinking, why are people crazy about knocking down trees? And it's not, I mean, I see it all over out here. And I get really, I guess I'm turning crazy in my old age about trees, because I just think, like, man, that's crazy. Why are you knocking down these trees, you know?
A couple moved in across the street from me, and they had two big trees in their front yard, and they've cut them both down because they said his wife was allergic to them.
So we can't. Yeah, that's. I'm going to be vulgar. That's bullshit. But I'll tell you something. I mean that really. That's terrible that they would use that as an excuse. I mean, it's. But and what you might remind them that they live in Oklahoma. There's no trees in Oklahoma.
Oh yes, there are. We've got forests around here.
Yeah, maybe in the east.
Tallahena Mountains, my land, that's just full of trees. We traveled around Oklahoma because he wanted to learn about the state. And I remember going to Tallahena, and, it was beautiful there.
Well, put that on the map, listeners. We've got to go. And that right there is a great way to finish the show. Tallahena. Tallahassee, Oklahoma.
Tallahassee. Yeah.
Tallahassee. Never would have heard of it.
Well, we've also got Flap Out.
Yeah.